It does not look like a good tip. Not fully charged. I'm hoping the best. Okay, today's daf, Matzei Shabbos, daf Kuf Lamed Ches. We're about to say goodbye to the Spolskis for a little while, heading off to the Chasna. And I'm not quite sure actually, to tell you where we got up to. We just did the Mishnah, okay. In which case I would suggest that we start again. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Tolinat HaMashmeret V'Yom Tov V'Natzanim L'Tzuliyah B'Shabbat. The Mashmeret is basically a piece of material that covers over a barrel over which you pour wine, leaving the lees behind in the Mashmeret and a clearer wine in the barrel. You're allowed to spread out this Mashmeret on Yom Tov, despite the fact that it seems to be similar to making an Ohel. And on Shabbat, you're allowed to pour the wine through if it were already spread out before Shabbat. You cannot spread it out on Yom Tov. And if it is Shabbat and already spread out, Shabbat. So they argue on both points that the Rebbe Eliezer said. Aval, the one thing that they're ready to agree is that if it was already spread out on Yom Tov, you can pour the wine through it. Now, the question is that if you recall the Gemara we had earlier about closing up a window with a hanging device that you could just push into the window thing, unfortunately, it was Rabbi Eliezer himself who was the one who made us all the problems over there and said that it has to be hanging, it has to be up by the window. So he was making such a big deal. Hashta Rabbi Eliezer, usufei oel arai lo musfina. He was the one that told us we're not allowed to add to an oil arai. So all of a sudden he's telling us, what's it now? It's okay to spread the mashmeret out, but to close up a window, that wasn't okay. Explain that to me. Mahi, what are you referring to? That's not back in the Mishnah of Pekaka Chalon. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Bezman Shekashur V'Taluy Pokekin Bo V'im Lavein Pokekin Bo. Was Rabbi Eliezer Shita, who was Machmer on Pekaka Chalon, needed to be hanging and also up in the air, connected to the windows, so that then it was clear that basically it's just opening and closing rather than adding something new, even though it was arai on Shabbat, where the Chachamim Omrim, Ben Kach Uben Kach Pokekin Bo. What's the big deal? You're only adding basically, and it's Surat Arai, because you obviously intend to take this down, it's just a window covering. So why over here is he reversing himself and being makel even to hang the Mashmeret v'chatchila? V'yoma Rabba Bar Bachanam Rabbi Yochanan, in relation to the Mishnah of Kaka Chalon, Rabba explained it in Rabbi Yochanan's name, saying that both Rabbi Eliezer and the Tanakhama are modim she'en osimo al arai b'tchila b'yom tovin tzorach lomar b'shabbat. You're not allowed to make an oil, even an oil arai on Shabbat in the first place. Even on Yom Tov, certainly not on Shabbat. The question over here was only in terms of Hosafa. No nech kala lo hosif, Rabbi Eliezer mer ein mosifin b'yom tov, ve'ein tzarich lomar b'shabbat. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you cannot be mosif even on Yom Tov, koshkin, not on Shabbat. V'kachomim omrim mosifin b'shabbat. Whereas according to Kachomim, you can even be mosif on Shabbat, ve'ein tzarich lomar b'yom tov. So now we've reversed it. Here, Rebbe Eliezer is the one who's saying, not only can you add a mashmeret, if it was already a little bit hanging, you can even put it there in the first place. I don't understand this. Says the Gemara, it's very simple. Very simple. Because, I mean, basically, on Yom Tov, when you're dealing with a mashmeret, you've got one additional point. You're talking about food. That changes everything, doesn't it? I mean, this is Rebbe Eliezer Shita. He's Savalak Rebbe Yehuda. The Braita says, as the Mishnah Megillah, Ein Ben Yom Tov LeShabbat Ela Ochel Nefesh Bilvat. Now, truly, when you spread a mashmeret, I understand that you're not about to eat the barrel. That's true. But it is Machshirei Ochel Nefesh, isn't it? And there's a need to spread it in order to be able to now clean the wine. So the problem is that there we have a machloket, but Rebbe Eliezer agrees with Rebbe Yehuda, who runs against the Tanakhama, who says the only difference between Shabbat and Yom Tov is Ochel Nefesh directly, And Rabbi Yehuda adds, Matir ap makshirei ochol nefesh. So since the mashmeret is makshirei ochol nefesh, there's no problem in spreading it in Yom Tov. And therefore, it's like asking somebody, gee, how come you don't dig holes on Yom Tov, but you cook? What's the connection? One is tzarech ochol nefesh. According to me, this is the extension of the dinning of tzarech ochol nefesh. But wait. Hema deshamin ala Rabbi Yehuda b'makshirin sheyev shalo sultan me'erav Yom Tov. Makshirim sheyev shalo sultan me'erav Yom Tov mishama itlei. After all, Rabbi Yehuda wasn't talking about any old makshir. He was talking about a makshir which was required to be done on the same day. I mean, you could easily have spread out this mashmeret erev Yom Tov without getting into a problem of chilul Yom Tov. So why are you doing it? Ah, you're right. When we say holds like Rabbi Yehuda, we don't mean he holds like Rabbi Yehuda across the board. He holds like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that is matir makshirei ochol nefesh, but very similar to Rabbi Eliezer's own shita when it comes to Shabbat, in which all makshirim are mutter, whether they could have been done before, not done before. We talked about makshirei miva. So in terms of makshirei ochol nefesh, he takes Rabbi Yehuda one step further. And adifa, to Rabbi Eliezer is adifa, min Rabbi Yehuda, he takes Rabbi Yehuda one step further, is matir even makshirim she'ef shalas otan mi'erev Yom Tov. Then the Chachomim say, well, not only can you can't hang it on Yom Tov, you can't even put it in the wine strained through it on Shabbat, even if it's already hung. Iboilo. Talamai. First of all, I want to know, when the Chachomim say you can't hang it, what would be the din if you did hang it? Are we talking about a diuraita here? We're talking about a drabona. So Amr Rav Yehuda said, well, talach hayav chatat. As far as I see, it's a real asiyat ohel, yubichayav achat. Says Abaye, oh, yubichayav achat. In other words, if you take your pot and you hang it up on a hook in your kitchen, you're chayav achat. I mean, it's basically the same thing. I mean, you're adding something to a wall. I mean, are you serious? Obviously, this whole thing is only Rabbanan, where the Rabbanan viewed the spreading out of a mashmeret as more similar to actual building because it's over something. Or, according to Rashi's Pshatik, it's a big machlok, it's shown him how far to take this, in which it's uvda de chol, whereas putting a pot on a thing is irrelevant, really, to building. So therefore, the whole thing is min rabbanan shelo yaaseh kederech shu oseh bechol, which the Rambam understands to mean because then you may come to actually do the act of the biur on Shabbat, and that would be aser. So he adds an additional point over here that it's a gezerah because of what it might come to be.
Use it as a tzedek.
Yeah, if you spread it, then you're very likely to come to use it as
a
pot on a hook. Are you allowed to put a pot on a hook? Aren't you adding to your house? Are you putting a pot on a hook? You're adding to your house. Obviously, it's a joke. So this too. Why is this really any different? Ve'ein notzdin l'tluya b'Shabbat. Again, according to the Rabbi. Oh, I'm sorry. Mankit Abaye chumre matnit avatari. Now, Abaye would try to bake chumre. Remember that chumre means knots. Kechomer means something knotted up. So they would often knot something good smelling, put it around their necks in order to have a deodorant around. So that was called kemin chomer, something very beautiful. But it also means a knot, because things that are very beautiful are shown in their interrelationships. So Abaye would take klolot from the Mishnah, tie them together. And that's what he did. He basically organized the various kalim that are all similar to Asiyat Ohel Arai and that are similar to our din and put them together. So he said like this, okay, take the dinim of goad. Goad is basically, it's an interesting device. A goad is a piece of skin that is sewn on the sides and is left wide on top. When you come to a camping ground, you can put your food in there, your liquids in there, your wine in there, and you put it on top of poles, spread out the top. And that way what you have basically is the wind coming around the bottom of this thing, and any type of exudation is evaporated, and it cools it. So it's basically a refrigerator. And that way you can keep your food cold in camp. But the problem is that when you spread out the top, you're making an ohel, because the top that connects to the loose piece of skin spreads out. So this is part of Abaye's research. I mean, he took all of the elements that related to spreading out things similar to ohels and put them all together, even though they're scattered all over Shas. So he took the good. So you have the same question over here of our Mishnah, of Mashmeret. And you have the din of Kila. Kila is a canopy bed, where if you spread the canopy out on a Shabbat, you're also making an Ohel Arayi. And the Kisei Galin, now here, Rashi has got a pshat that is very problematic for us. Sugin and Nitos is arguing with him. Because the Kisei Galin sounds very much like the Mita Galal Nita that we had before. It was a type of portable furniture that they would have in Gaul. And what they would do is they would screw in the legs to build it on Yom Tov. There, on Shabbos, there the problem was not Ohel. The problem over there was the Chashash that you may put it in tightly, and then it would be Binyan Bekelim, if it's done tightly according to everybody. Tosfos says, well, that doesn't make any sense, because every last case that Abaye was collecting, as we'll see, are cases of Ohalim, not of just general Binyan. Now, that can't be a coincidence. So what, he's going to throw in Stam one case? That doesn't make sense. Therefore, Tosfos learns that it's talking about really a portable chair, but it's a portable chair in which you first put up the sides and then you put something over the top, and therefore it's similar to Binyan of an Ohel Arayi.
Like a folding chair?
Yeah. Yeah, but not one where, not a folding chair where you had the, let's say, the piece that was ready to just come down, because that would be okay, as we'll see. Over here it's talking about that first you put a base on and then you put something on the top. So there you're building in a way which was Milamata Lamala. We said Lamata Lamala was also, remember, the whole question of the mate and so on. Yeah, it is. Of course, right, 12 inches. Only an oval chair, Achrona Litzlan, is lower than Shlosha Tvachim. Thinking about the Avelut chair, can't be Shlosha Tvachim. So we had that case. All of those cases are lo yaseh. Don't make them lechatchila, because over there it's similar to binyan, except that it's an ohel arayi and therefore pater. And imasa patur, but it's still aser. An ohel keva, in other words, if you're actually putting something up that's going to stay that way, and it is a true ohel, lo yaseh v'imaseh chayav chatat, that would be the only case. Chayav chatat is not the case that we have in our Mishnah. Aval mita. Mashenke, when it comes to our beds, we have a bed, let's say you take the bed and the entire bed folds up against the wall, or you turn it on its side, or a case of a kisei traskal. A kisei traskal basically has the top already made with leather, so it's attached, and then you just spread it out. There's something like a folding thing, or where you spread out four legs. Or an asla, which is a toilet seat, which is basically the same thing. It's already spread out, and you're just folding it down on the toilet. So over there, mutala natotan lechatchila, there is no problem, because the ohel is already made. It's already partially hung. All you're doing is putting it down again, and that's not considered to be asur. Ve'ino tzedino tuya, this is the Gemara, this is the source of the modern-day asla. It's a toilet seat. Although nowadays it came to be the entire toilet container, they call the asla, which is not accurate. Shimer mai. Just like I asked you before what the din would be according to Rabbanan who asered hanging the mashmeret, what would the din be according to Rabbanan who asered doing the shimur if it were already hung on Shabbat? Omrev kahana, it's true, borer. And if you did that, you would be chayev chatas. Maski flor of sheshes. Now wait a minute. That means that you're telling me that Rebbe Eliezer is matir lechatchila, something which the Rabbanan say is a chi of chatas. That's a rather extreme argument. I mean, mi ika midi de Rabbanan b'chay of chatas. Rebbe Eliezer shori lechatchila. I mean, we usually have arguments that are, you know, each one is will take a position, but not jump two positions ahead of the other one. This is something new to you. You never learned. There's plenty of cases like that. Alam alo, why not? How about the famous case of Yerushal Zahav, where we had the the case of a woman carrying on Shabbat the Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. According to Rabbi Meir, it's a chiyuv chatat to carry out in Yerushal Zahav. Rabbi Eliezer is matir lechatchila. What am I referring to? The Tanya, lo tetzei yisha b'Yerushal Zahav v'im yatza chayevet chatat divrei Rabbi Meir. Because according to Rabbi Meir, it's a question why this is true, but some learn because once it became osur to wear, it becomes now not really a tachshit, but a statement. And the Chachomim omrim lo tetzei v'im yatza p'tura, because there's just a chashash, maybe she'll take it off and show it to her friends, and then she'll come to carry it arba amot b'shut rabim. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer omer, yotza isha b'yirshal zahav l'chatchila, it's a tachshit, and what's more, being as it's worn only by women who can afford it, they don't take it off to show it, because that's very not classy. And therefore they will not take it off in b'shut rabim. Anyway, but we do have an extreme here, running from Chiyuv Chatat according to Rabbi Meir, and once again, Rabbi Eliezer being Matir, so what's so difficult to believe that it's the same thing here? Well, Malay Abaya, now, wait, that's not the same, because over there you have a middle Shita. Rabbi Eliezer, when he said that it was Mutter, he wasn't arguing directly on Rabbi Meir. Misavet Rabbi Eliezer, Adar Rabbi Meir Koi, Diyomar Chayevet Chatat, Adar Rabbanan Koi, Diyamre Patura Aval Asur. He was referring to the Rabbanan. She said, you say it's potter, there's a chashash, because maybe she'll take it off and show it to friends. I tell you there's no such chashash, but maybe it's mutter lechatchila, but ein achinami. If the only other shita would have been the shita of Rabbi Meir, and I would have had to argue on Rabbi Meir, and I wouldn't have been matter lechatchila. Anyway, assuming that in fact you are osir and chayev chatat, nishumai matrinan be. Which milacha would you say to a person who's about to pour wine through a mashmeret on Shabbat? What would you say to him? Don't do that, because if you do, you will be chayev for what? Now, there's a big machlokas about whether this means that every time that you give somebody hatra'ah for an isur Shabbat, you must identify the milacha, or whether it merely means that if you did identify the milacha, it has to be the right one. Because otherwise, it's not taken as a serious hatra'ah. It's a joke. I know that's not true. So, the question, but however we understand the point of the specified hatra'ah, what would be the correct hatra'ah to give if you're specifying the malacha? Rav Omar, by the way, some learn the mocker of this would be that since the Torah was miyached in the chiyuv of chiluk malachot on Shabbat, it said, and specific lav, lo tevaru eish b'chol moshvotechem, then that means you're mechuyev by the same token to say, lo, whatever it is, lo tasu breira b'shabbat, or lo tas mechika b'shabbat, and so on. But it was, would be the marker for it. So Rava says, well, you could give a general hatra'ah of borer. Now, we know that Borer has a lot of very similar melachas. Because, I mean, we have Harkada, which is very similar also, what, you know. But Borer is sort of the general sense. And Rava says, look, it's enough to say Borer. Rabbi Zera says, no, you'd have to say Merakid. This is how Rashi learns. In other words, certainly, Rashi says, Rava would certainly be moda to Rabbi Zera that Merakid is enough. Because it's more similar to Merakid, as we'll see. But he feels that the relationship to Borer is sufficiently clear to be Mechayev Mishum Borer. It's just that Rabbi Zera holds that it is not even an accurate Hatra'at to say Borer, for reasons to be explained. The truth is not everybody agrees with Rashi, Rabbi Nochanan, and a number of other Rishonim disagree and hold neither would Rabbi Zera agree with Rabba or Rabba with Rabbi Zera. In Omar Rabba Kavati Didi Mistabra, I'll tell you why I believe that this, according to Rashi, that this is also Borer. Because look, Ma Darkosho Borer, Notel Ochel Omeiniach HaPsolet. Just like the norm of Borer is to take the Ochel, leaving the Psolet behind, and this, of course, rings alarm bells in everybody's mind, because that's exactly the Borer that's Mutter, because it's not the Derech of Borer. So this is totally crazy. Tosfos asks this problem earlier, the first time that this whole din appears by Borer, where over there it says that the derek of borer is dafka, the opposite, and he asks from our Gemara, Dabek Nafayin Dalet, and he answers over there that it depends whether the ochel is meruba or the psolet is meruba. So whichever one is meruba, it's less tircha to do the other. Fine. That's a possibility. Now we'll see other ways of understanding this in a moment.
The halacha we take that?
Yes, yeah, definitely. Definitely. So afachinami no telat ochel aminiyachat psolet. Now what? Omer Rabbi Zera, Kavati Didim Istav. No, I think it's not true. It's more similar to the Merakit. Because when you're doing Harkadah, what happens is that the psolet remains lemala, and the ochel goes lemata. And afachanami, I mean, you're sifting. You're sifting, all the junk remains in the sifter. Well, that's what you're doing over here. You have the psolet melamala, and the ochel melamata. Therefore, it's not really, in terms of the pu'ula, similar to the pu'ula of borer at all, because basically in borer, you remove the ochel, leaving the psolet underneath, right? However you do it, but that's all, you take out the ochel, the psolet is going to be left behind, not underneath. Therefore, it's not similar to it at all. Now, there is another way of understanding the relationship over here that Rabba is talking about. No tel ochel aminir psolet can be, I don't deal with the psolet at all. In the case of a merakid, I deal with the psolet. As a matter of fact, I mainly deal with the psolet. Because what I do is, I keep shaking the sifter in order to see to it that the psolet is separated from the ochel, and that the ochel can fall. And thereby, I'm actually working with the psolet. Imagine, you know, over here, I have no interest in the psolet at all. What happens is the wine simply flows through itself, leaving memela, the psolet, behind. And therefore, it's not really similar to merakid. So that would be the meaning of his meniach, the psolet. That is the pshat, his notel over here, notel the yochel. More similar to the pool of Borer than the pool of Merakit. Tani Rami Bar Yecheska. Now that you've listed all of these various cases that are similar to Asiyat Ohel, I want you to know that a talit kvula lo yaseh. Don't fold your talit over the sides of a framework. Because then you're imasapatur. I mean, it's true that that's only a arai Ohel, but you can't do that because you're basically making for yourself a little place in the sun on Shabbat, and it's an Asiyat Ohel. Even though you had a framework before, you're basically filling it in now, and that's Asiyat Ohel. Hayakarucha le'achuto meshicha. However, if the talit was already wrapped around the framework, it has now a string coming out. All you have to do is pull the string, and the talit flows out. Then you're even allowed to do it. There's two shitas in the Rishonim. Some learn this is only if you had at least a tefach that was sticking out of the framework originally. So then it's called usufei olarai. In usufei olarai we were matir. But some learn that the actual making of it in that fashion, to have it wrapped around a moat like we have on our window coverings, on the old-fashioned window shades, you know, where it wraps around something. That's essentially the case here. Then it doesn't even need anything to be sticking out because it's already muchan now, and it just, you know, you're just taking out, but the main binyan of it was the moat itself or the nace itself, as Rashi uses the lush. Boimine Rav Kana Mirav, Kila Mahu. Well, what would be the din about a canopy? Oh, my lady, canopy. Forget about the canopy. Even the bed's no good. Really? No bed's good? I'm like, even a canopy would be okay. I mean, what's the problem with a bed? Oh man, you're driving me crazy. So are kila and beds the same? Nah, the kila is also the mitas mutter. Whew. Now, if anything is made to get you confused, it was that statement. And that's how Tosis learned. In other words, that each statement was gorer, his next question, asking in a different way. So, velokasha. Now, obviously, we could figure out what he meant. Bedavka, because he put it in such a puzzled way. Chodikomer af mita asura. When he says a mita as asur, that's talking about a mita karmanai. Karmanai, again, here we have Rashi and Tosfos is again the same achlokas. Is it mita galonita, which is a problem of being sticking it in too tight and being over on bone, or is this a type of mita in which the frame was made first and only afterwards the leather or whatever it is you put on top would be spread and then it would be building an ol milamata lamala, which is asr, the way Tosfos learns it. So when he says the mita is asr, it's talking about a karmanai mita. When he's saying even a kila is muteris, there he's talking about a Rami Bar Yecheskel kila, where the kila basically is on a pole, like a window shade, and you just pull down the window shade. So over there, we said already that it's mutter. And where he said the kila is asr and the mita is mutter, that's like our beds. Our beds are mutter because they're not made as an ohel, because they're made for the top, not for the bottom. So even if they're all the way up against the wall now and you let them down, you're not building an oil for what's underneath it. You basically have a surface on top. That's how many people make the chilek.
What about the navy?
And the navy would be a mita kalamnita. Because over there what you do is you take the edges and you jam it into the pieces that stick out of the side. So there's not a problem of oil awry, but there is a problem of jamming. You're talking about the old-fashioned navy cots? The army cots?
Yeah. No,
where you stick in a piece of wood and it goes into the plug? And it's very hard to get it into the plug?
No, I mean things against the wall. Because one bed is always there, the other two are flat.
Well, I'm sorry. That's not what I call the army beds. But maybe the Canadian army. No, I know what you're saying. Over there would be the same thing because it's not made to be a mahil on him. It's made to provide a service for the guy here on the other side. So all of them end up being mutter. And Omer Rav Yosef said, you should know that I visited Rav Huna. I saw that he had canopy beds. Demiur Tanagido, they were made in the evening time. I came back in the morning and I found them taken apart. They were chavita ramya. So, I mean, obviously there's a way to do a kila and to take it apart on Shabbos. I guess maybe the way Rami Bar Yecheskel had it, or a little piece that remained enough, you know, it was a tefach, and then the rest of it was just spread. Omer Rav Mishum Rabbi Chiya, vilon, you have a curtain. Mutala natoto, umutala farko. You have no problem because since it's a vilon and it doesn't have any part that extends upwards, I mean, crosswise rather, to create an oel, even a tefach, there's no problem in putting up a vilon on Shabbat either. V'yomer Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Chiya, kilat chatanim, mutala natotal, mutala farka. The kilat chatanim is very unusual in that a normal canopy bed spreads the canopy over two bars, one on either side of the bed, so as to create a space on top. Mashenkin, the kilat chatanim, pulls the canopy out from a single bar on top, so that it's really up close very much. It gradually spreads to the bottom of the bed.
Two in the middle?
One bar going across the top, and the kila comes down, so you don't have a tefach, exactly. It's like a tent kind of thing. But you don't have a tefach in the roof. If you don't have a tefach on top, then it doesn't have a shear of an oil. Therefore, you're allowed to spread it out on Shabbat. Omer Rav Sheshi Pareda Ravidi, let's make this very clear. We're talking about a kilat chatanim, lo amar ela she'ein bigaga tefach, and it's dafka, because it does not have in it a tefach. And if it would have a gag tefach, I don't care what you call it. Bottom line is a gag tefach is sufficient to answer it because that's already a shear of an oil. It ain't much of an oil, but it's still an oil. Furthermore, even if there's no tefach in the gag, it also depends on how rapidly it's spreading out. Because remember that three tefachim samach to the gag is basically lovut, as all one shear. So if within three tefachim, close to the gag, you've already got a tefach, then you still have a problem. So that's davka she'ein b'pachot mishlosha samach l'gaga tefach. Aber yesh b'pachot mishlosha samach l'gaga tefach, then it would be also because that is basically a full oil of a tefach within three tefachim. So it all counts as one piece.
What is that? That's an oil?
No, that's an oil. It's like this. Right, it's a triangle. But even though the covering is here and not on the bottom of the triangle, lovud makes this entire thing sealed. For all intents and purposes, you have a little sealed triangle at the top, which you don't see, but is there halakhically. Right?
I don't get it.
Lovud means anything within, three tefachim of each other.
To the top.
Top to bottom.
In this case, to the top. From the top of the triangle to the base is less than three tefachim. So in other words, if that area is completely sealed up, you have a tefach on the base, then you got a problem.
But it will be, right? Any bed will
have to be very sharp.
Oh, that's the thing. A kilat chatanim,
the
bed has to be very narrow. We're about to talk about that problem in a minute, okay? And that is, this next piece is mad. This next piece makes the whole case absolutely impossible because of that. Some take it out. But Rashi basically sees this as the definition of a kilat chatanim. V'lo amran ela ein b'shipua tefach, av yesh b'shipua tefach, shipua ohalim ko'alim dama. This is only if it doesn't have a tefach when it gets to the point on the bottom in which it would have. In other words, there's no tefach in width either. What? So in other words, there'd be no point at which you would have a tefach that would have a covering over it. The Tosfos says, well, so then what is it? I understand. Yeah. Well, I mean, what is it, a dollhouse? What are we talking about?
Midgets.
Yeah.
It'd be less than two tefachim altogether.
That's crazy. There, so Tosfos says, well, maybe this means that...
Promotes togetherness.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe this means that you got a lot of bars on top. And this is like sort of a decorative thing that goes up and down over the various bars. Okay. And, I mean, it sounds like something that's easy to picture without a picture, but we're happy to look at the picture if it adds
no.
Okay. I'm sure you've seen things similar to this. So it's got these bars that are going up and down, and yeah.
Why does that
mean? Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's not the right picture, but I'm not going to. It rarely is, but the bars are going in the opposite direction. Yeah, but it's okay. It's classic. But and therefore we're measuring each one separately, which doesn't sound. Yeah, says that's very, very dachuk. But Lamaisa elsewhere, Rashi basically says this whole thing is a decoration. It's not serious. It's just suggestive. So you could put little figurines in your kilat chatanim. You can't really sleep in it. You know? It's sort of anatomically correct Barbie dolls.
Oh, it's not
put
a real
it,
bed.
Put it on top of the cake.
It's not a real bed.
It is a doll.
Because I mean, if you're learning, if you're taking this seriously, so then what is this supposed to mean?
Put it on top of the cake. It's a decoration.
That's right. Right. No, but this is a real kilat. It's not a miniature. It's just that it's not wide. You can't really sleep on it. So as Rashi says over here, kilat chatanim, inna asu yavishandach. Don't ask me any questions. It's not made for sleeping. Okay, it's not made for sleeping. I understand that. You don't have a problem. Now this is only.
Then why would he say that second one if the third one is so much more? This one is so much more restricted. It would automatically include that one.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily, because it spreads and then it comes down. You don't know how it is on the edges. You have to analyze the sides. You have to analyze the.
It's not possible that he's talking about every three talking down has to have less than a ten of tefach.
No, that wouldn't be meaningful. But what it might be talking about, as Tosfos suggests, is that every tefach should have ten tefachim above it, which it has, which covers that tefach. And the shipua, yeah, because then it becomes like a real gag. So okay, but anyway, I mean the best thing is the gra takes out the gear, so you know, that's always good, and we're not to worry about the whole thing, right? Well, I'm another the nochit bipuri tefach. I will nochit bipuri tefach asur. This is if you have, however, an area that juts out a tefach. So then it becomes now a side, and then the bed itself is now the ohel over this piece. And you forget about the rest, forget about the bed itself. And it's jutting out of the wall, like in the rova, you have these little couch-like devices. So then it's a real bed, like any other bed. The Omer of Sheshes Bereda Ravidi, Hai Siyana Shari. Siyana is sort of like siesta, you know. It means the black hats that are worn in yeshivas. Mm-hmm. That really is what it means. And so, Rav Sheshes, the felt hat. Rav Sheshes Bereda Ravidi says you're allowed to wear a felt hat on Shabbos. As the Gemara of Itma Siyana Osir, no, you're not allowed to wear a felt hat on Shabbos. Depends. If it's a borsellino and it has a tefach, then you're not allowed to wear it. But hadalet beitefach doesn't have a tefach of a brim, so then it's not a real borsellino, then it's mutter to wear.
Frank Sinatra in...
This is a problem. This is a true problem for yeshiva bocher.
What?
It's a CSOL.
What, on your head?
Yeah. It's like an umbrella. What's the difference between an umbrella and a black yeshiva hat? Seriously.
It sounds
I'm saying over here, they're medayik dafkid, it should be shul shab. Yeah. Ask the Gemara elameata sharviv biglima tefach achinami demechayiv. What are you telling me? It's if you put your talus over your head, and your talus sticks out of tefach, so you're going to be making an oil on Shabbos. Oh, now here is where the heter comes to wear a black hat, according to some. The question is, are we goyres ella? If we're goyres ella, then the Gemara has now changed its mind. This is how Rashi understands it. Forget about oil. You're right, it's derech levish, it's not considered oil. The problem over here is maybe it'll blow off your head on Shabbos, in which case you'll come to carry the arba amis b'shul zarabin, therefore you're not allowed to carry it. So lakasha. Adalomadik, it depends if it's tight. If it fits your head tightly, so it won't blow off. If you have to be cheshish that it will blow off, then you're not allowed to wear it. However, Tosfos does not goyres ella, neither is the Rif, many other shitas. And they say, of course, why would we say the Gemara changed its mind? The mahadik or lomahadik is simply a way of distinguishing between a hat and a talis. A talus, even if it's sticking out, it's not has nothing supporting it. So therefore, so it happens to be that it got caught in such a way it's sticking out of tefach. I mean, there's nothing that makes it similar to an oil. It just falls down, basically. Mashenkein, a felt hat, if it's stiff, is the pshat mahadik, so it's stuck onto a brim, so then it's a real oil. You're not allowed to wear it. It's only if it wouldn't be mahadik, and it bends down like a talus, so then that would be mut. We're not distinguishing coins between the hats, and distinguishing between a hat and the talus, according to which you're not allowed to wear a yeshivish hat on Shabbos, right?
Unless it has a brim.
No, if it has a brim. This is a kosher hat. That's a brim. They would throw him out of the mirror in this hat.
This were bigger, but had a brim that tipped down.
No, that's not the tipping down. Is not. It's not called tipping down. Right. Enough.
Umbrella's
tipping down means it falls down completely. No. So the Mishnah Brura indeed says, that you shouldn't wear it. He probably should not wear a black hat on Shabbos. It has to be a straw hat. No, he says he can't wear it. So they're malamed tzchus that they paskin like Rashi, and that borsellino after all is a type of sad fashion. I mean, the Gemara certainly didn't mean to be to forego the top of fashion.
Shrimal
is also a problem. The big shrimal. That's why the gerers make sure they don't have a tefach. We only go on. Of course. What do you mean?
Really?
I don't know.
I actually met somebody. Sounds reasonable. I actually met someone at Goy that was hired by Barcelona. They didn't understand why Israel and Antwerp were their best selling.
Who else would
wear? Why are we getting sales like that anywhere else?
Well, Mexico, you could say.
Not black.
Yeah, there are places that they were in. All right. Well, we're keeping industries alive. It's something to be said for the old, old hometown. Okay, but it's fascinating. It's another one of these things. You know, it's the other one that is most astonishing to me is the idea of shaving the head and leaving the pes. I can't get over that one. Because according to many shitas, if you shave the head and leave the peyas, then you don't have any peyas. Because the peya is only a peya. Because at that point, once you shave the head, you'd be allowed to shave the peya. Because it's only if you shave the peya and leave the hair. But if you shave the entire head, then you're not over on shaving the peya. So they would have to shave the head. So now the peya shouldn't have a din of a peya. So that even if you remove the peya, it would be okay. In order to be mechaviv the mitzvah. That's one of my favorites.
Okay. They just don't know.
They don't know. Nobody knows. It says over here, mechaviv. Oh, so there they make a chilek between wearing a hat with a yarmulke underneath, which is aser, because then it's okay, and then you wouldn't. It's also true. Stop being ma'ir bad things against Jews in the Chedesh Elul. There's got to be some excuse. Anyway, but it's another one of these strange kind of things in which the chumras became kumas. Yeah. Okay, so let's continue now. Shalach le'rami bar yeches l'ravuna. Would you please tell us easy, like the various things that you said over the name of Rav? I remember you said two things about Shabbos, one thing about Torah, and I can't reconstruct it. Sholach le'hada tanya, good bekisna mutar l'natota b'shabbat. Omar Rav lo shana al b'shnei b'nei adam. Remember we spoke about the good earlier, that was the cooling device that you put up in a campsite. So over there, if it has kisna is like a belt that allows it to be pulled out, you can spread it on Shabbos on one condition that it's done, says Rav, dafka with two people. Because two people always mess up when they spread things out. As you must have noticed if your wife ever asked you to help her fold a tablecloth. Of course, it's always your fault. But the fact is, the Gemara says, two people can't really do such a good job on a thing like that, because one is pulling up a little bit loose, one more in one way and the other way, and in attempting to compensate, you end up without it's really being pulled properly as tight as it could be, and therefore it sags. And it sags, it's not a problem because you already have Ritzuas on it anyway. It was already spread on. Hashem came, if it was Adam Echad, who could do the job properly, because then he first ties it onto one side, and then he ties it tightly on the other side. And then it would be aser. Says Rashi, I'm telling you what I was taught, don't expect me to explain it to you. Amar Abaye, v'kila, afila b'shia sarah b'nei adam asur, because he have shad lo mim t'chapurta, and Rashi, when it comes to a kila, this is not an issue, because look, a kila is so big, some of it's bound to be tight. I mean, even if you're pulling it out across the entire length of the bed, I mean, you're right, it may not be tight across the whole thing, but you're certainly going to have a tefach that will be tight. Idachmai, and what was the other case that Ravit said? Titania kira shenishmeta achat miyarchoteha mutar l'taltala. If you have now a kira which has lost one of its legs, one of its sides, you could still move it around because there's no problem of your building it. But shtayim already is usur, and shtayim is usur because it loses any usage. Whereas Rav says there's a problem of building it. Afilu chad nami usur, gzera shama yitka. It's a problem because we're afraid that you will force the side back in to put it back together again. According to this, if there is no side, then there would be no iser, because it's only a gezerah. There's some are indeed matir in that case. And this would be similar to the eyeglass problem, which often happens.
Eyeglass problem?
You lose one of your what do you call them? No, the temples. So one of the temples of your eyeglasses falls out. So you're not allowed to screw it back in on Shabbos, because that's tekiah, b'chazka. So then it could be that according to Rav, that's already would be Xera. Don't put it on using only one, because you may come to put on the other one, but you don't have the other one. Then there wouldn't be a problem of wearing it, according to Roshita. Very similar case of Shami Yitka. What was the case of Torah that Rav said? Diyoma Rav atida Torah shetishtakach mi Yisrael. Torah is going to be forgotten. How do we know that? Shenema vihifla Hashemet makoticha v'et makot zarecha makot gdolot v'ne'emanot v'cholaim ra'im v'ne'emani. What is that, the lashon of hifli? What hifla? Hifla Hashemet hafla'a. Hafla'a means incredible. Any of the amahu, what would be hafla'a? Kishahu omer, when we find in Yeshayahu, in which it specifies hafla'a, so the whole din is hafla'ah. And it continues on to say, the wisdom of the wise will be lost. So clearly, that is a question of Torah. Now we get back to Barnea's neighborhood. Because it's one of the things that Rav said. He asked him, tell me the two things about Shabbat and the one thing about Torah, which is strange. We'll talk about that in a minute. When our Rabbeim came to visit Barnea, Amru atida Torah shetishtakach miYisrael, shenemar. This they already brought directly, not from the diuk in the words of Moshe from Yeshayahu, but rather directly from Amos. Hine yamim ba'im nehum Hashem Elokim, vishlachti ra'av ba'aretz, lo ra'av la'lechem, v'lo tzama la'mayim, ki'im lishmo et divrei Hashem. So we see that there is a true thirst. Thirst for the Dvar Hashem, uchti. And indeed, it describes in Amos, later in that pasuk, "V'na'umi yamad yam, mitzafon ad mizrach yishot tulavakesh dvar Hashem v'lo yimtzau." They will not find the dvar Hashem. They will have all kinds of questions. There will be no one who can tell them the correct dvar Hashem. Dvar Hashem refers, on the one hand, to halacha. Dvar Hashem refers to the kates. Rashi says he doesn't know how. Tosfos says, "I'll tell you how." Because we find in Ezra, it says that lichlot dvar Hashem mipi Yirmiyahu, which means it was at the end of the Shivim, by the Shivim, lichlot dvar Hashem mipi Yirmiyahu, was the end of the Shivim Shana, clearly, dvar Hashem mipi Yirmiyahu, therefore it's a reference to the gates. Dvar Hashem is also Loshon HaNevuah, because it says, dvar Hashem Masher Hayal Yehoshea, for instance. So there is a dvar Hashem Loshon HaNevuah. Means that they'll be running around from Pesach to Pesach, and everybody's going to tell them something else. And Atida, it means that one day it will come that a woman should carry a Kikar Shel Truma, and she'll be running around to various Batei Knesset, to Batei Midrashas, Leidam to Me'ahi Vim Torahi, and nobody can tell her. Vein Mevin. What are you talking about? It couldn't be that people don't know how to read a pasuk in Torah, it's me'ayim, but they can't read the pasuk. It says it's a beferish pasuk. It says in the Torah that if you have bread, it's ochel asher ye'achel, asher yavor alav mayim, or we're talking about a tanur, that a sheretz falls into the tanur, v'chol mashka asher yishteh b'chol kli yitma. So it means if it's inside of a kli tamei, it would be tamei. So what's the problem? No, you're right. That's impossible. Nobody could be that stupid. So, but maybe the Shaila Shad was like this. Leida im rishonayim shniayi, they maybe. She wants to know whether her truma is truma rishonah or tamei, like I'd be being matami something else. And nobody can tell her. What do you mean nobody can tell her? Nobody could be such an ignorant person. I mean, it's a fairish a Mishnah. Get it not? Hasheretz shenimtza betanur, hapache betocho shnia. If a sheretz is in a tanur, the sheretz is a rishain, is an av, the tanur becomes a rishain from the sheretz, that's in the air of the tanur. Of course, the tanur is a klicheres, can only be mekabel tuma from its airspace. And the pot becomes tame from the tanur. So the pot's a shnia. Satanutchila? So what is then? What do you mean? Nobody knows a Beferish or Mishnah. Ask any 2-year-old. Ah, problem is like this. Stapkaluhu. Homa omale Rabada Barava la Rova. The very thing that Rabada Barava asked Rova was bothering this woman. Lechaziyaya haita nura kamanda male tuma. Vitahavi yapat rishona. So the Navi foresaw a day in which women would become such lamdoniyos when they ask a shayla and they say, what do you mean? It's a fresh Mishnah. I'll have a kash on the Mishnah. What do you mean? Why shouldn't we say that the sheretz is in the Tanur? That means that the airspace of the Tanur is full of Tuma sheretz. How else did the Tanur get the Tuma sheretz if it didn't fill up its airspace? So be'etzem, the moment that the bread falls into the tanur, it should be makabel directly from the sheretz. What are you giving me? The tanur is a rishain. That's only where you took out the sheretz. I'm talking about it falling together with the sheretz. So even though it didn't come into contact with the sheretz, why isn't it matame directly from the sheretz, huh? Go tell me that one. Oh boy. The tanya. So he answered. Rava told him, "Look, lo amin lechazi atenor kamanda mali tuma. I'll prove to you that we do not view kabbalas tuma of the toch of a kli cheres as having anything to do with maga. It's not because, like in an ohel, the whole space fills up. It's because the Torah gave a specific halacha, as I'll prove to you in a moment, that tuma is transferred directly from airspaces, not by filling airspaces." How is that? Because look, Tanya, Yochu Yukola Kelim Itami Bavir Klicheres. One of the implications of saying that the Avir Klicheres is full of Tuma would be the fact that a normal Kli, not a Klicheres, but a normal Kli that is Makabel Tuma from its outside, if that Kli would be in the Tanur at the time that a Sheretz would fall, then a Kli should be Makabel Tuma in a tanur as well, because a kli is certainly makabel tuma from touching a sheretz, correct? And yet, the Torah says, Talmud lomar, kol asher betocho yitma mikol ha'okal asher ye'achel. Now, can you explain that to me? Why does the Torah say only food will be tame if it's inside of a tanur into which a sheretz fell? If, in fact, a kli can be makabel tuma from a sheretz, and the airspace is full of sheretz, then it's absurd to make any distinction between Ochlin and Kalin. Therefore, we are forced to conclude that Ochlin are metamin ba'avir klicheres, ve'ein Kalin metamin ba'avir klicheres, which teaches us two fundamentally important facts. A tanur is not filled with sheretz, and that's your answer to the question. B, a kli will not be makabel tuma from a rishon latuma. And this indeed is the source, because otherwise what's, so what? So let it be makabel tuma from the avir the same way that anything else would be makabel tuma. Must be because a kli cannot be makabel tuma from the avir of a kli cheres, because a kli cheres is only going to be a rishon itself. And therefore a rishon cannot be metame kli. It can only be matame food, but it cannot be matame kli. So those two fundamental halachas are learned from here. So let's just see that inside. So asher yachel och matame gavri kli cheres ve'in kele matame gavri kli cheres. Tanya Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai omer chas v'sholom. What Torah is going to be forgotten? Tishtakach Torah Yisrael shema ki lo tishakach mi pizaro. We say it every day. There's a haftacha that the Torah will not be forgotten mi pizaro. And as we talk about the bris in Uvalatziyot, so the Moshe Rabbeinu promised us in Azinu, it's not going to happen. Elamani mekayem yeshot to levakesh dvar Hashem velo yimtzu. What does it mean they will search to find the dvar Hashem? Shelo yimtzu u halacha brura u mishna brura b'makom echad. You will never find a halacha that is clear in a context of Mishnah that is clear. In other words, there will be no clear-cut framework that handles every halacha. There's going to be all types of machlokas in, because the Mishnah is going to leave things hanging in a way that allows for too much movement and non-clarity. And that's a problem, because if you go paskin halacha from your own approach to a Mishnah Berurah, then you would have the Dvar Hashem, because the Dvar Hashem is only seen as a holistic entity. But to have lists of halachas and halacha books and Shulchan Aruch and things like that, in which the sugya is not consistent, all of the halachas to all of the sugyas, is a disaster. And in such a case, you feel you have no taste of the Dvar Hashem. You may know a halacha, but you don't see how that halacha is connected to the Dvar Hashem b'chlal. Exactly, that's the situation that we're in, precisely. There's a fantastic Zohar that explains the Atida Torah Shetishtakach Yisrael is that the nature of Torah is that it consists, each element consists of a fundamentally important insight into life. The day will come in which all those insights are lost and people are learning Torah as if it's some type of nonsense. Nonetheless, the Pella is that they will continue to keep these ridiculous mitzvot, which will be the birur hasofi, that ultimately Klal Yisrael is nasev nishma, no matter how idiotic it appears to them, right? Which is paladic, because the Ishbitzer, the Me'ah Shiloach, says that's why this sugya is in Teilin. Because Perek Teilin, essentially, are the elements of Shabbos that relate to birur of the yayin. The yayin is the yayin ha-meshum rubah m'sheshes mei bereishis, which the whole nature of bria is meant to be mevayer, to get rid of all of the shemarim and junk that's in the yayin. So that question of what element can you have wine that you're able to drink on a Shabbos, that's the ultimate beer, that Klal Yisrael needs nothing but the strength of their amunah to live on, and will be able to be shemar Torah even though it's lost all meaning to them.
It's a pillar. If the wine is strong enough, everything is
possible.
So we're also there.
Yeah. Okay, now. Yeah. So we can now be zochet to the correct end.